From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 20th day of June 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, Dave Chatterton from the Powerline Group right here in Champaign will join us to take a look at the agricultural energies. Along the way, we'll hear all about the crop conditions in Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, and Minnesota from statisticians in those regions. And we'll check the weather forecast, too, with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And, oh, hey, happy birthday to my nephew Mike in Logan County today. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Wayne Nelson is out of the office this afternoon. Ellen Dearden of Ag Review out of Morton, Illinois, joins us now to take a look at the commodity markets. Hey, Ellen, thanks for being with us today.
Sure, Todd.
Let's begin with the livestock today, because kind of an interesting trade there. What did you see?
Well, the cattle and the feeder cattle were really down hard much of the day, and all of a sudden, they started rallying, and the June cattle actually closed 35 cents higher. The rest of the live cattle and the feeders were down. But at one point in time, they were down $3 more than where they closed in the feeder cattle. So it was a pretty nice looking day. What I noticed is on the June cattle, we met a downside objective out of a gap lower action a week ago when we got down to this 120 area, and that's usually time for a little bit of a bounce, but we bounced off 118.02, and nobody's too excited about the cash trade being really firm this week, so maybe this today's market was just a temporary bounce.
So I suppose it could have something to do with the Secretary of Agriculture meeting with the Mexican and Canadian officials, at least talking a little bit about NAFTA. I'd have to go back and look at that and see whether there was anything there. However, that's part and parcel of what's been happening in the livestock. Can you build that into the grain stocks report possibly at the end of this month for me? Because we'll have the acreage numbers and the grain stocks numbers out on the 30th day of June. Both are important figures. We probably won't talk a lot about the grain stocks, but the feed and residual number tends to be pretty tough to figure.
Yeah, it does. And it seems to me that we've got building numbers. However, the weights are not sharply higher. So that's going to make that feed number, particularly on the corn side, not so much on the meal, but on the corn side, I think a little bit difficult to assess. That grain stocks report is really an important report at the end of June to show us what we've been using up, and it also gives us hints whether or not our expectations of what we started with, both the production number and what was left over from a year ago, are accurate.
Can you tell me a little bit about how trade in the grains moved today? Start with the corn, maybe the wheat, and then that dime move lower in the soybeans.
Okay, the grains really didn't look too spiffy in either the corn or the beans. Made new lows, really expectations for a little bit cooler temperatures and a little bit more widespread precipitation on that 6 to 10 day outlook. And there were some surprise rains around the last couple of days, and there's calls for that again. The corn met a lot of selling on stops when it took out the 20 and 100 day moving averages. You know, we took out last Thursday's lows during the session, kind of middle part of the session. And that got things kind of spooky, and everybody kind of piled on. And I think the funds had shifted from a very large short position a couple weeks ago to a modest long position on last Friday's Commitment of Traders report. And I think today's action would have gotten some of those funds kind of spooked out of the long side again. On the beans, Todd, we were just down. There didn't really seem to be a lot of new news, but kind of the underlying feeling is that the beans are finally emerging and starting to look a little bit better, where they're not drowned out or they haven't been baked into the soil. But I noticed, too, that the pressure was really on the old crop months. And there had been a lot of talk that the delegation coming from China next month to Iowa would come with a pretty big list of desires for bean buys, but that seemed to have been tossed aside today. I thought it was very interesting, however, that the bean meal held together as well as it did while the bean oil really sold off. But the palm oil was lower again overnight, and the bean oil gave up an awful lot of its recent gains.
To this point, still remains a weather market, and opportunities will come, you think?
I think it's still a weather market. Our opportunities maybe at 9:40 on Dees Corn may be a little bit blue sky for right now. But, you know, we closed at 388 tonight. It's a long time before we really get into the pollination, the key part of pollination and kernel fill. So I'm not giving up on rally chances, but maybe some of the big rallies are gone. One brief comment. The wheat market's still smoking hot, and it's being led by this spring wheat. So was a little bit of spreading there, too, that probably put some pressure on the beans and the corn as well.
Ellen Dearden is with AgriView out of Morton, Illinois. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. The condition of the corn crop across the United States, according to the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, is the same this week as it was last week at 67% in the good and excellent categories. However, 2 percentage points of those moved from the good category to the excellent, so it's frankly in better condition this week than it was last week. The USDA says 89% of the soybean crop has emerged. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 84%, and that the crop is 1 percentage point better in the good and excellent categories this week than it was last week, at a total of 67% combined. Around the nation, 28% of the wheat has been harvested. The rolling five-year average is 25%. Now, here's an update of growing conditions across the Midwest with statisticians from Indiana, Illinois, Minnesota, and Iowa.
This is Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Region. Warm and windy weather with spotty thunderstorms prevailed across Iowa during the week ending June 18, 2017. Those isolated storms left some farmers assessing crop damage from strong winds and hail. Only the northeast and southwest corners of the state saw an increase in subsoil moisture. Many reports mentioned the need for timely rain. 78% of the corn crop was rated in good to excellent condition. Soybean emergence reached 92%, 5 days behind last year, but 4 days ahead of the average. Soybean condition was 74% good to excellent. Oats headed reached 67% this week, 4 days behind last year. Oat condition was rated 77% good to excellent. The first cutting of alfalfa hay reached 94% complete this week, and second cutting was beginning in many areas. I'm Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Region.
This is Mark Schleusener, State Statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week's weather allowed producers to harvest wheat, cut and bale hay, and plant some soybeans and sorghum. There was an average of 5.3 days suitable for field work last week, and generally more field work days were available to producers in the southern part of the state. Rainfall across Illinois averaged more than 1 3/4 inches, more than 3/4 of an inch above normal for the week. Wheat harvest advanced by 41 points last week and is now 65% complete. That compares to 33% 1 year ago and 24% for the five-year average. The condition of the wheat crop was rated 13% of acres in very poor to poor condition, 23% of acres fair, and 64% good to excellent. Soybean planting moved forward by 4 points and is now 97% finished. That compares to 95% 1 year ago and 94% normally. 92% of acres have emerged compared to 87% normally. Soybean conditions were reported as 9% very poor to poor, 24% fair, and 67% of soybean acres are in good to excellent condition. That is slightly better than 1 week ago. The condition of the corn crop was rated 10% very poor to poor, 31% fair, and 59% good to excellent, slightly better than last week. In other crops, 78% of sorghum acres are now planted. The first cutting of alfalfa hay is nearly complete. The second cutting is 21% finished, and 92% of other hay acres have been harvested. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Despite thunderstorms and rainfall throughout the state, Minnesota farmers were able to find 3.8 days suitable for field work during the week. Early week rainfall paired with warm, dry conditions toward the end of the week allowed for overall crop advancement. Pea harvest for canning has begun, and other field activities for the week included planting, spraying, and cutting hay. Minnesota's corn condition continued to improve with 81% rated in good to excellent condition. Soybean crop was 97% emerged with a crop condition rated at 77% good to excellent. This is down 1% from the previous year. Spring wheat increased to 71% jointing or beyond, bringing it 2 days ahead of the 5-year average. However, spring wheat that had reached the heading stage still fell 2 days behind average at 22%. Spring wheat condition declined slightly to rate 89% good to excellent. Oats continued to progress with 83% at or beyond the jointing stage, with 31% of the oat crop headed or beyond. Oat condition was 82% good to excellent, up 1 percentage point from the previous week. 78% of the barley crop was at or beyond the jointing stage, with 17% of the crop headed or beyond. Barley condition rated 89% good to excellent. That's unchanged from last week. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Janice Presbury with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service. There were heavy amounts of rain in Benton, Tippecanoe, and White counties. Some wheat was blown down due to high winds. There was little change in crop and pasture conditions, but the recent window for side dressing in wheat spraying appeared to have helped corn. Corn was 92% emerged compared to 96% last year and 98% 5-year average. Soybeans were 96% planted compared to 95% last year and 95% 5-year average. Soybeans were 84% emerged compared to 85% last year and 88% 5-year average. Winter wheat was 69% mature compared to 57% last year. Other activities included scouting for bugs, applying herbicides and insecticides, hauling grain, mowing roadsides, and certifying with FSA. This is Janice Presbury reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. Let's turn our attention now to the agricultural energies. We're joined by Dave Chatterton. He's with the Powerline Group from right here in Champaign, Illinois. Hey, Dave, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Todd. It's great to be with you as always.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the agricultural energies, and we'll start with the one commodity that seems to be the gorilla on the planet because it's the basis of which most things are priced. That's crude oil. What do we see there?
Well, crude oil, interesting that we talked today, Todd. I mean, crude oil today making a fresh six-month low. We're pushing below $43 a barrel in the lead futures contract there. So we've essentially eliminated all of the quote-unquote OPEC premium that we put into the market. You know, the group met last month. They decided to go ahead and extend their cuts for beyond the initial six-month period, which ended in June, for another 9 months, but did not increase those cuts or make any additional changes. And the market since that point has just not been happy with that action, or seeing that as a path to balancing these global supplies. Both, you know, domestic and global crude supplies both remain very heavy here. We're 6 months into the original OPEC agreement to cut global inventories, and we really haven't seen inventories budge either in the U.S. or around the world. And so we continue to see some price pressure, and of course, crude oil, a big component of the overall commodity complex. And I think you and I had talked a little bit offline about, you know, it's been a rough go here in commodities. The CRB index, general commodity index, is down about 10% year to date, where we've seen the equity index, by contrast, up about 10% year to date. And we're seeing that commodity weakness pour over today. Grains is a good example today. We've seen, you know, cattle top you here of late. We've seen some of the ag commodities as well as some of the softs, the metals, and the other frontline commodities that we watch here.
A reminder then of the winter of 15-16 when crude oil prices plummeted even, and they're not near that low today, but they were the big pressure on the marketplace. Any fear of that? I don't think that would be the case. And then can you talk to me a little bit about diesel fuel as well?
Yeah, I don't think we're in a repeat situation of seeing that, you know, that 2016 event come back where we had crude oil at $26. That'd be roughly or, you know, almost half of where we're at right now. Certainly, we can see some price pressure. The lows that we had last summer in crude oil came in around that $41 area. We're approaching that. And I guess our thinking internally, at least in our shop, is that we're probably going to stop somewhere in these lower 40s, maybe a little bit of time in the upper 30s. Diesel fuel has moved, or futures anyway, have moved pretty much in lockstep here as we've seen the declines in crude oil. So roughly speaking, we've got heating oil futures or what we call diesel fuel about 25 cents or about 15% off of their recent late May highs. And we're down around, in futures terms, around or just below this 140 mark. And if we go back and look at our, look at the historical performance, we just have not been able to spend a lot of time below that market. So in this roughly 138.50 area for futures, we think it makes pretty good sense here to be talking with your supplier. It's a good time to be shopping for product to maybe top off your tanks or contract for some fall usage here.
You know, speaking of fall, farmers will maybe want to be laying in some propane at some time for their drying needs. Is now a good point to do that too?
I think so, Todd. I mean, propane inventories have been challenged all year. We have been seeing those inventories grow here of late and do a little bit of catch up, but they remained at the very bottom end of what we would call the historical five-year range. Or what the comfort level would be, if you want to put it that way. We typically build those inventories through the summer and then start to draw them out across the winter heating oil season. So propane prices have fallen, but because of that inventory situation, they haven't done so to the same degree that crude and refined fuels have done. And spot Conway prices, and Conway being kind of the gateway of the pipeline system that supplies our, you know, Illinois, Indiana, or Midwest area, are roughly down around 55 or 56 cents. That's down from about, let's say, 64 cents in mid-May or towards those recent highs. And inventories are still a concern. So they may have a little additional downside here, but boy, we think it would be getting, you know, the risk reward is certainly pointing to the upside. If there were a supply disruption in a cold winter, grain drying became an issue, all the normal things that we look at.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking time with us today.
My pleasure, Todd. Best to you and all your listeners.
Dave Chatterton is with the Powerline Group from right here in Champaign County. Let's look now at the weather forecast with Don Day, a day weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don, let's begin in the Corn Belt as usual and move from the west to the east, please.
Well, we definitely have the nation sort of split in half. The middle and central and east central areas of the United States are going to be looking at a forecast that really isn't all that bad in terms of where we want to be in the growing season. Maybe lacking a little bit of heat as temperatures are going to be a little bit below normal. And we do see a series of weather systems that will continue to produce off and on shower and thunderstorm activity. The coverage of thunderstorm and shower activity is going to be favoring the central and western areas of the Corn Belt. This is going to be especially true next week, at least between now and, let's say, the weekend and early next week. It's going to be more spotty, but we see a trough in the Midwest, and that's going to keep temperatures a little cool. And coverage of shower and thunderstorm activity looks pretty good over the next 10 days. No real dry areas, at least in the heart of the Corn Belt. Still concerned about dryness in the Dakotas, Minnesota, and some of those western areas.
Any reason to fear that the high pressure, I assume that's what's happening in the Arizona area, would move into the Midwest and cause much warmer temperatures later or maybe at the end of the month?
I think that's what we have to look for. If it may not even be until early July. The high pressure that's causing that heat in the west is sort of relegated into the desert states and not going to have much of an opportunity to expand and grow east into the nation's midsection, as systems are going to still come out of the Pacific and sort of put a lid on that high pressure ridge and keep it from moving. So we see this for another couple of weeks. So this would put any real hot conditions into the Midwest, not until right around the 4th of July, most likely.
That would be fairly normal for our part of the world. Will it be drier? Are indications, at least, of that to be the case at this point?
Certainly, when the first round of heat builds in, yes, definitely expect there to be some drier weather. What usually happens is that high sort of wobbles east and west. We start to get Gulf of Mexico moisture in. Later on, that usually brings in some rains. So at least initially, as we get into early July, hotter, drier conditions, at least for time being, should be expected.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Just a reminder that tomorrow I'm headed to the Dudley Smith Research Facility that's outside of Paney. You can come, too. This is the Dudley Smith Farm Project Field Day. The day opens with registration, which is free, at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. You'll find directions to the Dudley Smith Farm on our willag.org website. It's in the calendar of events. Again, registration is at 9 o'clock. There is an 11 o'clock meal. It's the field day at the Dudley Smith Farm that belongs to the University of Illinois outside of Paynham. I hope to see you there. We'll talk to you from there tomorrow right here on the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.